Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Glad to see people who've come into the... You had to remind me. You know, I hadn't thought about it too much till about a month ago, and because I listened to the Beatles channel a lot, and we were driving along, and I was singing. I mean, I've been singing. Let's see, Sgt. Pepper's came out in '67, so I've been singing it my whole life. I'm singing, "Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm..." And I went, oh my God, I'm about to be 64. So I actually had to process it, but it's okay. So far, I've been 64 for a few hours, and so far, seems to feel just fine. So far, my 64th year is going really, really well. So I have no complaints. But thank you. And thank you, those. This is also my Jubilee year. We just celebrated my 50th ministry anniversary. So... For those of you that say, oh, we missed it, like, no, it's a whole year. Like, so you have an entire year to acknowledge in whatever way you see fit. Let me give a couple of announcements. I do want to say, though, we're glad John and Jason came down from Biltmore House Country. Glad y'all are here. And Greg and Mike, glad you guys are here. And most everybody else, you guys from Conyers, from A Blast from the Past, glad y'all are here. I was telling them, a lot of times I'll be out somewhere and a very large grown man is running toward me. I'm not sure, you know, these days I don't know who's going to slap who on the Oscar stage or whatever. And I'm like, who are you? Who are you? And they're like, Bishop, don't you know me? I was in Kids in the Now. I'm like, well, I haven't seen you since you were four, and you weigh 230 pounds now, so I wasn't just give me a minute to process it. So if it takes me a minute to recognize you, just go easy with me. All right. And I will say more about it later, but I'm certainly glad to have my mom and my oldest son, Jared, who are with us today. Christina's in Santa Fe, of course, and Judah and Massey will be joining us. He's at his service today, and they'll be joining us for lunch a little bit later. And Jonah was in town, is back on tour again, so we did a little celebration with him and Sophie Wednesday night. So it's all good. And of course, I'll say something about my friend Howie being here. That's super special for me today. But here's what I really want to announce to you today. Remember that 2 weeks from today, we will not be here in the theater. We will be on Jekyll Island. We're having our 14th, believe it or not, our 14th meditation weekend. And this will be the fourth time that we've gone to Jekyll. This is going to be on Easter weekend. This one promises to be, I don't want to say the best one ever because it sounds competitive, but this is going to be amazing because we're incorporating the acknowledging of the Christian holiday as well. So what we always do is that we do a sunset meditation on the Saturday, and we do a sunrise on the Sunday, which we will follow that observance, but also on April the 16th, which is Saturday night, we're going to be doing not only a sunset meditation, but also a communion service out there on the beach. We're going to be on Glory Beach, which is just, Carl let me know, Carl's in the movie industry, and he was telling me that they're making a movie of the musical version of The Color Purple, that's been on Broadway for all these years. And so they were just filming on Glory Beach, where we will be in a few days, so it's got some extra significance. That's going to be cool. And then on Sunday morning, which will be Easter Sunday, we'll be doing a sunrise meditation, but we're also going to do a water baptism. It's the first time I've ever done a baptism service for Metron, and I've already got several people who have signed up. I can't think of a better time to be baptized than at sunrise on Easter Sunday morning. So if you want to go, if you want to be a part of this, it's open to everybody. Just go to my Facebook page. The cover photo has all the information there. You can join the group or the event, and the information is all there for you. And the greatest thing about these meditation weekends for me, And a lot of you are out of town. Look, Ed drove down from Knoxville today. He's going to be with us. Which, by the way, while I'm thinking of it, Ed, I have something for you. Ed is, he's a client. And I've been doing some paintings. I've been doing a series called The Gospel According to Rock and Roll. And just taking different lyrics out of famous songs and turn them into paintings. So this one is from the Prince song, and it says, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life." And this is, I think this is the second or third piece that Ed's bought. So anyway, here you are, Eduardo. Glad you are here. Thank you. Wait, oh, turn around. BJ wants to get a picture. Here we go. All right. Beautiful. Thank you. You like it? Good? Good. One other thing I want to announce is our outreach this month. You know, we've done an outreach for 8 years every month, and this year we're giving to UNICEF specifically for the children in the Ukraine, and that includes the kids that are there and the ones who are also refugees. And we've worked with UNICEF before. It's a really great organization. So I want you to know that that's where your giving is going to this month as well. All right. Let me see, what else did I need to tell you? If we're ready for Reba, if you go ahead and bring her in, we will get started in just a moment. I see other people back there. If you're behind the lights, I don't see who you are, but I'm sure there's people here. I keep seeing movement back there, unless I'm hallucinating. When I picked Reba up from the airport, I'd gotten her one of those edible arrangements to put in the her hotel room, and apparently I didn't finish the thing because I said, "I bought edibles for you," and she's like, "Well, okay." And I said, no, not. Look, we just want you to be happy, you know, if like whatever can make you feel better, if it brings out the best of you, you know, this is a judgment-free zone. I don't really know all about that because I'm just high on life. But and she said, "Oh, edible arrangement." It's like, "Oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, what did you think I meant?" Now, look at the way y'all laughed at that. Y'all all knew what I was talking about, too. So we got you on the, let's all stand. I got you all on the prayer list to figure out why you knew what that was immediately. What we're going to do today is Reba's going to sing, and then she and I are going to talk a little bit, and then she's going to sing a little bit more. But let me tell you why this weekend is especially important to me. Before I go any further, did I announce everything I was supposed to announce? Is there anything that y'all need to... That was everything? Michelle, thank you. We grew up singing Rambo songs. My mom, one of the first songs I remember her playing the organ in us. Which, by the way, y'all sit down just a minute. I need to do this before I go any further and forget about it. She didn't ask for this. She didn't know I was going to. But y'all haven't seen my mom in a long time. Actually, I haven't seen her since my dad passed. Jared, would you bring mom up and just let her say a word to you? Hey. Say hey to everybody.
Will you still feed me? Will you still need me when I'm 84? We'll say that louder. Excuse me. Thank you. Well, I had to put the best I could possibly get on because I knew it was his 64th birthday and I wanted him to feel younger than ever, so.
You did well.
Thank you. The Lord's been so good. And we miss Daddy Swilly so much. He's supposed to be sitting right over there. I thought maybe I'd find him here today. He's here. Amen. And happy birthday.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. That's it? That's all you want to say?
Contact.
All right. Thank you, Mom. Thanks, Jared. All right. Now you can stand back up. We grew up singing songs by the Rambos. I remember Mom playing Shelter in the Arms of God and Remind Me, Dear Lord, all of those songs. The Rambos was a great gospel group that covered a lot of songs. Most of the writing was from Dottie Rambo, but a lot of it was from Reba Rambo. And I grew up listening to that. And then in 1973, I remember, went to hear Andre Crouch and the Disciples, and I knew who the Rambos were, but I didn't personally listen to Southern gospel that much. And Reba was traveling with Andre at the time, and she came out and did about a 20-minute set that just blew me away. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know she could wail like that. I didn't know. It was incredible. And I immediately became a fan. And wail's good. And the reason it's especially significant to have Howie's, we were roommates in college. He was 17, I was 18, so we've been best friends for all these years. But we kind of bonded around Reba's music. That's why it's beautiful that this worked out this weekend. Because when I first met him, he said, "Do you like Reba Rambo?" I said, "Yeah, I like her. I said, "The Southern Gospel stuff's fine. I mean, it's great, but that's not really my jam." But I said, "I heard her with Andre Crouch 2-3 years ago. That was amazing." He said, "Have you heard Lady?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And that was her signature album that came out, first of many in a solo career. Won a Dove Award, nominated for a Grammy. When it came out digital a couple of years ago, I played several cuts for you, and many of you listened to it, and it's still one of my favorites. And you know, this sometimes is lost on a modern audience, because you don't realize how far people have come. But when he starts playing the Land of Oohs and Ahs, I said, I was reading the lyrics, and I said, this is a metaphor for the Wizard of Oz? Like, wow. I mean, I refer to the Wizard of Oz all the time. But back then, that was considered, like, if you mentioned a movie like the Wizard, if you mentioned any movie back in those days, it was considered, you know, real edgy and blasphemous or whatever. I said, this is crazy. She's singing this. I said, she's not going to sing Over the Rainbow, is it? Well, she goes into Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which I found out later after I met her, that actually Harold Arlen, that wrote the song, it was one of his favorite versions of it, and he had to approve for her to sing. And it was so, I think Howie and I sat there and listened to that album about 10 times consecutively. And after that, we were great friends. So all of these years, we've really bonded around, like when we were in college, anytime Reba was within driving distance. Like one day, we remember this differently, but my version is correct. Like I remember, he was working somewhere, and we went to school in Lakeland, and I'd heard she was going to be in Orlando that night, and I just said, "Howie, she's in Orlando tonight." He didn't even check out. We just got in the car and drove there. I mean, that's how much of a fans we were. And then years later, I was privileged to actually become friends with her, and that's very, very special to me. So she doesn't even really do this much right now. So she's basically doing this as a favor to me, and also because, you know, I want you to know, yes, Dottie Rambo was incredible and great songwriter, and the Rambos were awesome. I want her specific and unique niche in contemporary music to really be honored. And there's about 3 more of your solo albums that still need to come out on digital platform. So y'all be sure. I know she bought some CDs today, and I know there's a lot that goes into that, but I really want all that stuff to be accessible. And the amazing thing is, like, the most recent one that came out was Reba Live, right? And, you know, some of these were done... Lady Live, yes. Lady Live was in 81. Some of these are like 35, 40 years old, and it's amazing how well they're still relevant. They don't sound dated. You listen to it like, wow, when did she make this? So the fact that it all worked out for And all these years later, in the year 2022, I was like, Hallie, she's going to be here on my birthday. He didn't check out or anything. He just got on an airplane, flew here. And so all these years, they met years ago, which she wouldn't remember. It was like at a big event. But he's had so many questions he's wanted to ask her. So we went to dinner last night. I said, here's your chance. What do you want to ask? And he wore her out asking questions. And this morning he said, my heart is content. I'm happy. So it just means all the world to me that she's here, and I know you love her as much as I do. So, without any further ado, I want you to welcome the one, the only Reba Rambo. Reba?
Okay. Hey, y'all. You're doing good. Sit down while you can. Charles in charge, I'm ready when you are. Is drifting, everything is shifting, searching for an anchor, a sure and steady place, the rock that brings deliverance, the hope that makes a difference, when saints let go of fear and hold to faith, don't ever no matter if they gather underneath the steeple or simply take the time to steer away. That quiet little warrior who's searching heaven for you keeps on interceding night and day. Don't ever count them out. Don't count out all the praying people. Or simply take the time to steal away. That quiet little warrior who's touching heaven for you keeps on interceding night and day. Don't ever count them out. Don't count out all the praying people. Whoa. Don't ever count them out. Don't ever count them out. This song says, he loves me so much,
He can't keep his eyes off me. Look at somebody and say, I'm looking at you. Well, Charles, not working? I'm going to have to fire that band. Are y'all doing good while he's doing that? Having a good time? It is so good to be with my friend. You know, I didn't really like him when I first met him too much.
Here we go again.
He just seemed to, you know, I'm held together with duct tape and baling wire, and he just always, he was so together. He had that together thing, you know, and the perfect little lapel and all that stuff. And I knew underneath all those rhymes. Father's eyes are watching me no matter what I do. He's always got me on his mind. He's a parent through and through, like a daddy in a noisy crowd. When I cry, he knows my voice. I'm flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. I don't really have a choice. He loves me so much. He can't keep his eyes off me. Why, you should see the way that he smiles at me when they say, I look like him, and his arms are so big that where I am, that's where he'll be. Wherever I'm at, my father always keeps his word, and he says, never leave. That promise is more like a threat, so I might as well believe. If I try to make my bed in hell, he'd just rip the place apart. Now who else is dying to that? I can't break my father's heart. He loves me so much. He can't keep his eyes off me. Why, you should see the way that he smiles at me when they say I look like him. I'm surprised that worked out. I want to sing this one for Howie just because I know he likes it. I think you got two tracks going. Okay. Are y'all having fun yet? Good. Look at somebody and say, don't you love her? Thank you. mama's waiting around the bend. There's too much sunshine, I ain't felt on my skin. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now, no. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now. 'Cause we've been together. Gentle hand, you brace me like a warm kiss, you grace me. Sweet as a Georgia rain, you wash away my fears. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now, no. There's so many mountains we've already climbed. There's too many words, Lord, I'm already rhymed. There's so many times we've won victory. Why, it's too late now to stop this talking defeat. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now, no. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now. 'Cause we've been together for such a long time. Like a gentle hand, you brace me. Like a warm kiss, you grace me. Sweet as a Georgia rain, you wash away my fears. Ain't giving up now. Ain't giving up now, no. Pick one song I've written, it would probably be this one.
I'll never understand why he saw a piece of clay and said, I want it, I'll use it. The greatest mystery is that somehow, in spite of me, he said, I'm gonna love you. He took me in his arms, said, this child belongs to me. He placed me in his kingdom. Now I live like a royalty.
Because of what I've done, it's because of
Have a little fun, okay? Get those hands together.
In the beginning, the day that God created man, he started passing out the gifts he thought that everyone should have. The gift to preach, to some the gift to prophesy, to some he gave the gift to heal, and others just to testify. But he gave me music. The gift was there when I was born. He gave me music. I just gotta sing a song. He gave me music. Sing out loud and strong, louder than the noise and confusion that roars, so the world can hear the freedom song. He gave me music. The gift was there when I sing with me. He gave me music. I just gotta sing a song.
He gave me music.
A heavenly melody.
He gave me music.
He gave me music. Look somebody in the eye and tell them, say, he gave it to me.
He gave me music.
He gave me music.
He gave me music.
A heavenly man.
Wait, hold that one later. Let's let her breathe a minute. That's a lot of singing all in one.
Especially when you're 70. But I'm looking good.
You ain't got to tell all your business. Bible says a fool speaks his whole mind. You got to. But then after a while, you know, people do figure out you've been around for a while. But I tell you, you make 70 look good, Reba.
Thank you.
If you go to any of the digital platforms, Ladies available, Confessions is available. Confessions is an incredible album. It's made with
lightning. Yeah, there's
lightning.
Blood all over that vinyl.
But it's really good. I mean, it's deep, but it's good. Each one of the records has a different vibe on it, but that one's amazing. Lady Live is out, and those are the three that are out right now. And we still got to get Lady as a Child, The Prodigal according to Reba, and Dreamin'. And you know, any of the stuff with the Rambos was great, and then the stuff that she did with Donnie McGuire, that's all amazing. My favorite stuff is the her solo work, and I know I'm just obnoxious about it, but I'm like, yeah, we love Dottie. Dottie's great, but like, don't this woman's amazing. A lot of artists have covered her stuff. You might not even know that she had written it. She's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. But tell me a little bit about the Rambo Women Project. What is that exactly?
Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be working with my daughter, Destiny. And if you haven't heard her, she is a freak of nature, and she is an amazing singer. I can't carry her lunch. She's awesome. But we, during the pandemic, I was up with her and her husband, Joel, and Charlotte for about 5 months. And you know, what do singers do when they're together that long and driving each other crazy? You start singing. And Destiny's husband is a producer, and he has a studio. So we said, just for fun, just for grins and giggles, you know, let's start singing some songs. And so we said, well, you know, we got to sing Granddaughter songs, and we got to sing Destiny songs, and we got to sing Reba songs. And what started out as one song went to two, went to three, went to four, went to five. And now we're working on the last two of the 10. And so I leave tomorrow, head to Charlotte, and Rambo Women, we will officially do the last two songs on that. And it's very organic, very Americana, but it is so much fun, and I cannot wait for you to hear it. And we're funding it ourselves, so it's one of those things that as funds come in, you know, you do what you got to do, but it is just so great. And to work with your kids, to work with Destiny, she is a born worshiper. When she was about 10 years old, one night in the middle of the night, I heard, bow, 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 and I'm like, oh, Lord, is it you? Is it time? What's, you know, that's kind of a pitiful trumpet, but okay. So I went running out of my bedroom, and around the corner of the house is where Destiny's room was. And I walked in, and she had candles lit all over the place. And she had her shofar and tears dripping. I said, Des, what's going on, honey? She says, I was just thinking about how much I love Jesus, and I had to blow my shofar. But that tells you her heart. Now, she's 35 years old and just an awesome girl. All my kids, I'm so proud of all of them. My son Israel is a director and just terrific. And then our oldest daughter, Dion, who's 45, is an interior designer. Can you believe that?
I can't believe the way time goes. I was, you know, Buck and Dottie lived close to where you live, Mom, and when it was, you were pregnant with Reba, and I remember we went to, you were pregnant with Reba.
Well,
too.
Reba Jr. I was pregnant with Reba Jr.
You were pregnant with Destiny, and I can't believe that was 35 years ago.
I know.
That was when her mom was friends with Elvis Presley, and Elvis had given her one of his jumpsuits, and my Uncle Earl, Bishop Hawk, comes out walking in the Elvis and sang a song for us. We're like, well, it'll never be the same after that. That was something you don't normally see at a baby shower. But yeah, Israel, they call him Iggs, but Israel is good friends with Jonah. And when Jonah and Sophie got married a few months ago, Israel came down. He said, I think I'm bringing my mom. I said, she's not going to come. And she sure enough, she did. And so we got a chance to.
I'm not bad.
So it was awesome. When you wrote things like Land of Oohs and Ahs or What You Say Is What You Get, or a lot of the songs about the kingdom, they were theologically edgy, they were provocative, they were a little bit ahead of the curve. What was the impetus that made you just push the envelope like that and write stuff that really made people think? Not just worship, but made them change the way they believe.
Well, the music that affected me made me think. The artists that I listened to that I really, really loved. I remember, may not mean a big deal to you, but when Sweet Baby James Taylor, that album, and when Carole King, Tapestry, there were sounds I'd never heard before. And, you know, now it seems like on the radio, it's kind of...
Everybody's everybody.
And there are a few exceptions to that, but not a lot. But I thought, I want to write something that hits me like that. I want to write songs that hit me the way that those great albums hit me. When I first heard Andre Crouch and the Disciples, oh, sweet Lord, I thought I was just going to jump out of my body or something. And then to get to travel with them for a year and a half and be the only white singer.
And in the modern world, it's lost on people how totally groundbreaking that was. Like, the mm-hmm. first time I ever saw a multicultural audience was with Andre Crouch, white people and black people together, which now is not that surprising, but... You know, in the early 70s, you just didn't see that at all.
And it was so great because I got to live in Pacoima, and I stayed with Mom and Papa Crouch. And, I mean, right in Pacoima, if you know anything about L.A., it was a rough place. And you know what? I had the best time. I went to Papa Crouch's church, and a lot of times it was the only white face there. And, honey, they taught me so much about singing, about rhythm. And whenever I started traveling with Andre and the Disciples, Andre said, you know, if you didn't have Dottie Rambo for a mom, you'd sing differently. And so he would work with me and say, what about this part of your voice and that part of it? And it was so awesome. But to travel with them, you know, it was kind of like Gilligan's Island. It was supposed to be a three-hour tour. Yeah, and I stayed a year and a half. But it was such a great education for me. And so many things I learned there are still, it's a deep well that I still pull from.
I always loved just the fearlessness. Like, again... Nowadays, when you talk about you have what you say and that kind of stuff, people are like, yeah, we've heard that. But at the time, like, I remember when Howie and I were in Bible college, you guys went to the same, you're from our same alma mater, but you were there a few years later. I don't know what it was like when y'all were there, but any of the teaching about the confession of the word stuff, that was just considered taboo. They considered it like, you know, like a false doctrine nearly. And you take Don Gossett's song, What You Say Is What You Get, and just... I remember going to First Assembly and you're singing that, and I thought, wow, that's huge, and that's such a powerful song, and that's on a Rambo album. That's not.
It's on Naturally,
and on the 25th anniversary.
I don't know. I did 60 albums with the Rambos, so you kind of forget what's on.
Yeah, and Lady wasn't your first. Solo project, but it was the first one that was really on the contemporary Christian market. And again, it's such a different world now. But, you know, there was a time, I was telling her last night, I said, I don't even think you realize what a game changer you were at that time. That you really transformed and made it okay for, like, again, things that we take for granted now, that you just, it's like... I felt like you created the world as you thought it should be, instead of the world that was handed to you. Because I never saw you really apologize for it. You're just like, well, this is what I believe, and I'm going to sing
it. No, and it was and about the time you realized people are getting it, and, you know, Lady was the number one selling album in gospel music in 1976, and won the Dove and everything. But
which even, you know, last month was Women's History Month, and she was... applauded for that because of the Lady album. It was the first one that had been nominated for a Grammy and a Dove. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yeah. But you know what's so funny is about the time you think you're doing great, then bless their hearts, some of the saints will come. funny story. I was thinking about this morning when I was warming up in the hotel room and praying they wouldn't think I was crazy doing all my lip rolls and those things you do. But I remember singing at a big concert and packed house and just feeling pretty good about myself. The band was jumping and jiving, and, I mean, it was great. We were having so much fun, and I was sparkling rhinestone all over the place. And after the concert, I went out to the lobby to sign product. And this lady came up, bless her heart, and... like, you know, no makeup, kind of Gestapo looking mustache and corrective
shoes.
When
she just gestured that means her hair was piled up real high on her head. For those, I'm translating into Pentecostal.
But she walked up, and she was so loud, her voice just carried through that lobby, packed with people, and she said, "Do you call what you do singing?"
Oh, Lord.
Just like that, and the whole lobby just, you know, it was like E.F. Hutton was talking, everybody froze. And I said, "Well, you know, I've been accused of it a time or two." She said, "I can't stand to hear you sing." And I was like, "You bought a ticket, but okay." She said, "You sound just like somebody calling hogs whenever you sing."
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I don't know what came over me. I said, "Thank you." I said, "You know, I'm from Kentucky. We practice calling hogs. We have contests for it and everything." And my friend Judy Gosser was there by me and ready to climb over and give her some fivefold ministry. But anyway, Judy said, "Well, it must have worked because you came running whenever she sang."
Oh, no, she didn't. That's what you call shade, honey. Here in Midtown Atlanta, we call that shade. You know, it's you anticipated my next question, because I remember on your Dreamin' album, you did a comedy sketch, like a solo performance. And in that, you talked about a woman who said, "You sound like you're calling dogs." And I've always meant to ask you, did that really happen?
Oh, really, really. Really, really. And whenever my friend Judy said that, you came running, the whole lobby started applauding, and the lady left.
I never got to see that dressing room sketch in person. I always wanted to see, because it was just, that was a great, another innovative piece. Again, you go back and listen to these albums, it's like, and I don't think this is hyperbole to say this, but it's the way I feel when I listen to the Beatles. I'll look at something that they put out, when they put out something in 1965, or 19, and I think, wow, that was... Do you realize how ahead of the curve that
right.
was? I mean, that was like
sweet.
Nobody was doing anything like that. And I, I always felt an affinity. For one thing, you know, we're both from ministry families. We're both only children, so there's a lot of mm-hmm. things we related to in that. But also, I remember, I've said it 10 million times, but you remember the Kelly Varner.
Yes.
He came to my church years ago, and he prophesied. He said, "I don't know what this means, but... God told me to tell you, you're going to do something nobody's ever done before. You'll be the first one. There's nobody you can pattern after. There's no precedent for it." And I've always been attracted to pioneers like that. And now, all these years later, I mean, yes, I liked the music. Yes, that appealed to me. But it was something much deeper. It was your ability to go in someplace where something hadn't been done before and exalt every valley and bring every mountain low.
You know, it's been a rough 3 years. Most of you know that I went through a divorce, and it was, you know, caught me off guard. It was terrible. But in that, and having therapy, which I so believe, and pursuing mental health and seeing professionals, people that you need, I'd be dead if I hadn't had two great therapists. But, anyway, I didn't mean to get misty out there for just a minute.
Hey, what you going to say? They need to hear it.
Yeah, but when I was a little girl, I went through horrible sexual abuse, and I'm good now and gone through all kinds of healing, and but it was horrible. But to survive it, Bishop, I would go somewhere else. I don't know if any of you have ever been there, but because the trauma was so traumatic that in my mind I would go to a beautiful place, which is one reason I can write. I have that imagination can go to a beautiful place. But also, when the divorce and everything happened, that kicked back in a negative way, that I would lose hours. I would lose hours. But to know that God can take what was evil, what was harmful, and turn it to where that now, every time that I'm in my imagination, how, you know what I'm talking about, when you can go to these incredible places and write about them.
You mean like Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Like Somewhere Over the Rainbow, or like this other song. I really want to sing two more songs. Can I do that? But anyway, I can go there, and yet I'm not that God caused the abuse. We all know that. He was a very sick person. But I've seen how God can take the worst things in our life. This divorce, which was hell, y'all. It was hell. We had to sell our house. It was just awful. But now to realize I'm free. Is that bad to say?
Not at all.
No,
it resonates what you're saying. And even since you've gone there, let me say that even yesterday, this is the first time I've seen you since that. We've talked and that's right. But we didn't have any one-on-one time,
right,
really.
Right.
And a lot of times I can't get a bead on somebody until I'm actually in their presence. Like if you're really sick in the hospital and I come to visit you and I say I just do not feel death in this room at all, you're going to be okay. I mean, I've said that to many people and they're like, if I don't say anything, I'm like, death's over there behind the door. I mean, we can pray, but y'all might want to get your best suit dry cleaned, because I don't know. And I can feel it as soon as I see somebody.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Ken and I went to pick you up at the airport, and I saw you afar off. And after we talked, I said, I just got to tell you, I'm not saying there isn't still stuff you have to work through. And a lot of people in this room have been through divorce. You don't just get through it unscathed. I mean, you think everything's resolved, and then sometime, a year later,
especially after 40 years of marriage,
right?
Yeah.
Something surfaces, and you're like, whoa, I thought I'd processed that already. But I said, I don't feel any heaviness on you. I don't feel any bitterness on you. You referred to Donnie in our conversations, and and even on the way to taking you back to the hotel last night, I said, the thing is, when I say it's all good, I'm not being glib about that. I really do believe that all of it has worked together for good. And yes, some of it is hell, and sometimes you can't get to heaven without going through hell.
Right.
The kingdom suffers violence, and sometimes it's very, there's difficult things that we don't even understand why they happen, but they work out something in us to where you can look back over your 6 days of creation the way that God did and say, it's good. It's all good. And then you enter into your Sabbath.
Well,
and rest.
It's interesting too, the songs I've written during this time, but I knew there was a little piece of shrapnel still in my heart that I just had tried everything I could think of. And about 2 a.m. one morning, I'm in my living room by my prayer chair, and Mama's got a crying lamp, we call it, that she wrote songs by. And I'm down, and I heard myself say, I can't stay mad when I pray for you. It's not so bad when I look up to heaven. But it was like, it was the revelation of, for me, and I know that I should have gotten that the first week, but I didn't. I couldn't even pray about anything. I couldn't even hardly get out of bed. But I learned that the more that I could pray for my ex, for his wife now, and all of a sudden there was a freedom that came in prayer. That's why that little song I wrote with my friend Adina Bitten Bowman, that, don't count out the praying people. And I know prayer is a lot of things. We've talked about it. It's almost like I'm constantly in that place of union, communion with the Lord. I'm just very aware of his presence. But there's a song I want to sing.
Okay.
You can sit right there if you want to.
Okay.
You can jump in. Don't you love him?
Yeah.
I mean, for real. We've had some great, great talks. But there's a song. How many of you remember the story of when Jesus is telling the parable of the feast? There was a great feast made, and everybody had excuses. Before my world blew up, I kept thinking about that story. And Charlie, we're going to do Guess Who, okay? You got it? You are all right, dude. Thank you. For a while, I'm trying to walk through this minefield gracefully. But when Bishop and I first had our conversation concerning him, and late night, 2 a.m. conversations. I was
saying, you mean my full truth is what you mean.
Your full truth, yeah. And I loved him so much, but all of a sudden I remember talking to you with my pajamas on and trying to process everything, and all I kept thinking about was Sidney Poitier. and his movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. So I want to sing that for you. Great. Their situations complex. One bought land, one took a wife. They had no time, they had a life. But the king said, I'll not dine until my table is filled. I pour the wine, I bake the bread, and the lamb has been slain. Tell them just to mention my name. Guess who's coming to dinner? Guess who's sitting down?
Mess me up.
Oh, good. You need to get messed up. I'm going to sing one more song, if that's all right.
Please.
While you get yourself together. Thank you all for letting me be here today on this very special day. You know, when I was a little girl, I was raised in Kentucky, lived with my grandparents so much of my life, and I was just this weird, strange kid that was always, you know, hiding up at the top of a tree and doing bird calls and stuff. And I was always a loner, but I loved to read, and our little librarian at our little country school, Miss Hamby, I remember one day, because I'd go to the library after school and help her because I just loved being in there. And she said, "Oh, I have got a treat for you today, Reba girl." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "I bought a whole set, a series of books called The Wizard of Oz." And I had not even seen the movie because it was on Sunday night, and Lord knows I had to be in church on Sunday night, so I had not even seen the movie at that time. But there was a whole series. And she says, "I'm only going to let you take two at a time, but you can take them." I remember running to my grandmother's house, to that back bedroom, and she had a quilt, she called it a quilt closet. On either side, there were jams and jars and were pickles and pickle beets and all that stuff. And then in the middle of the little closet were all these patchwork quilts that my grandmother made, all stacked up. But I could kind of climb the shelves with the pickles and stuff and climb up on the top. And I was so excited. There was a light bulb on a string, and I turned it on, and I remember opening that first book. And my dog, Germs, was there. Germs is invisible, but she was a bad dog. But anyway, because my mother was nasty nice and was a clean freak, and so anytime anything bad happened, I'd say, "Mom, Germs did it, wasn't me." But anyway, Germs and I are sitting on top of the patchwork quilt tower there, and I started reading, and all of a sudden something came over me, even though I was a little girl, that I all of a sudden I was like, "Huh, there's the scarecrow. He needs a mind." Kind of like me, I need a new mind sometime. And then I started seeing the Tin Man. He needed a new heart. And then the Lion needed courage. And then there was somebody called the Wizard, and I was trying to figure all that out. But it so resonated with me. I remember crying as a little girl in that quilt closet and just saying, "Wow, I can see this is like the kingdom. This is like the kingdom." So years later, this became my signature song, "The Land of Ooz and Oz."
His ruby slippers on my feet, started walking the yellow brick road. Now I'm traveling for my home. Instead of bricks, I'll walk on streets of gold. Stand up in the devil's not a mixed up scarecrow's mind. You thought he will renew. If you think there's no place like home, you should see the one he's built for you. Describe its splendor, no, it's a land of oohs and ahs. Somewhere over the rainbow we'll see the King Jesus. He's so much more than a wizard, and he can make new creatures out of us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bishop. Happy birthday to you. Yay!
Once again, Reba Rambo, it's how much you appreciate it. It's perfect, 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 perfect. I love it. Just remain standing. Oh, what a wonderful day. What's that, Dice?
We can't sit down.
Come on now. Wow, just everything. Reba is going to, will you be back there with the CDs or maybe not?
I only brought one kind of CD with me. It's called Ladies' Treasury. It's kind of a best of. And what I felt this morning to do is it's a priceless CD. Normal, I was going to sell them for $10, but if you don't have $10, just say put it on God's tab, okay? But, and or if you want to buy two, that's awesome. But anyway, just a little something to remember me by.
Absolutely. And listen, My Aunt Clarice is making lunch for us. We don't have all day. So y'all go to buy a CD and keep it moving. But, yeah, please get that. And like I said, the albums are out on digital platform. Any like, iTunes, any of the ones you listen to, they're all available. And I have my Siri set up. It's a British guy's voice. He's like my personal butler. So yesterday I'm driving and said, "Hey Siri, play Reba Rambo. Ain't giving up now." Now playing Reba Rambo. And it's like it's one of my favorite things. You want to give today, we don't receive offerings at Metron, but you can give online, and I'm going to show you how to do that. We're going to bless Reba, so whatever you give today will go towards that. If you have cash, just pay it forward. Just go bless somebody. If you want to go to Meditation Weekend, it's super easy, and it's going to be really awesome. So if you've wanted to go to one of these, this is the one you want to go to. Please remain standing, and I'll show you how to give.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
Hey man, did you get anything out of this today? It was good, wasn't it? And I think Dan will be back there. If you're making checks, if you have checks, you can just make them JESM, and all of it will go in together. So he'll be back there to receive that from you. If I didn't personally welcome some of our guests, please don't take it personally. I'm super, super happy that you're here. I've got a lot on my mind today, so don't take anything personally. I adore you all, and I'm so glad you're here. And thank you. It'll take me a minute to read all these birthday messages and whoever's... I feel my cash apps buzzing, so somebody's giving something. So if that was you, thank you. Yes, I have them all, whatever the cash app, you name it, I have it. I'll come to your house, pick it up, and meet you in a parking lot in the mall. Whatever it takes. But today was just wonderful. So please go by and at least say hey to Reba before we get on the road. And we will be back here in this theater a month from today. I'm not sure what date that is, but it's the first Sunday of May. We'll be back here. But I'm hoping to see most of you Easter weekend in Jekyll Island. And you can, for Jekyll, you can make it as, it's the first, May 1st? Okay, good. No? All right. Oh, and also, while we're there, Ken's about to have his 60th birthday. Yes, I'm older than him. I'm a cougar. And Friday of this week, we celebrated our 10th anniversary. It wasn't just we don't consider it just our first date, because when we met each other, that was it. We didn't date anybody after. We didn't look for anybody after that. So we have a wedding anniversary, but we consider April 1st. That's our anniversary. We've been together 10 years. But in Jekyll Island on that Saturday, we're going to do a little something for his 60th. His is on April 19th. So that will be the weekend before that Tuesday. So, if you don't come to Jekyll Island, we're just going to assume you don't like Jesus and you hate Ken. Like, what have y'all got? What did Ken ever do to you? But I've been meaning to mention that. But yes, we will be celebrating him as well, and he certainly deserves it. Whoever, hey, tech team, thank you. I know this is not the kind of thing that y'all normally do, and you rose the occasion. You guys are just amazing. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. Blessed in the city, in the country, in the basket, in the store. Blessed is the fruit of your body. The Lord makes you the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You have a blessed day. And you wake up tomorrow saying, "This is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it." God bless you. Go in peace. Mwah. I love you.